Today is Monday, April 19th, 2021. This is a continuation of the hearing for docket number 21-001, short-term variance application for Granite Rock Company. The hearing board officer is Michael Guth. My name is Ann O'Rourke, and I'm the executive assistant for Monterey Bay Air Resources District, and this hearing is being recorded. And with that.
Thank you, Ann. Before I start, I wanted to have a question for counsel. It's my understanding that everybody that was sworn in at the hearing at this second day of a continued hearing, that those affirmations carry through. Is that so?
Yes, the hearing was continued to a date certain, so the swearing in from the initial hearing date continues through.
I'll just remind everybody that they're still under oath, and I'll ask, is there anyone here now that wasn't here at the first meeting? Okay, seeing none. Okay, great. So I want to thank staff for getting me the updated information and the attachments. I've reviewed them all, and I think having seen them all, this process was well served taking a week. I don't know exactly what happened, but I think it's in part because you had your final test there at Granite Creek, basically the business day before the hearing, and we were a little scrunched, I think, is what happened. So we were well served coming back around. So I have a few questions based on what I've seen, and I wanted to get an affirmation of some prior testimony. Let me start with a letter from Granite Rock that is it's an email from Reed Carter to Mary Girardo and Song Kim. And so, Mr. Johnson, I might be putting you in a position here, but it's in Appendix B. And Last week, Granite Rock testified through three people that they were doing everything they were doing an awful lot diligently to get PG&E on site to change the inputs, starting when they were notified back in June or July of last year and carrying forward through the year. And I'm just concerned that I want to ask you to affirm that testimony in just one second. Because it says, since the installation of the burner and the receipt of the test, Granite Rock has been working with PG&E, on the chance that anybody might interpret that as meaning that until you received the test results, you didn't start reaching out to PG&E, could you please affirm for me that Granite Rock has been working with PG&E back since last July to clarify any misunderstanding possible there?
Yes, Mr. Officer, Granite Rock immediately reached out to PG&E when during the installation, it was notified to us that the contractor who was putting in the burner said there needed to be modifications to the valve on the line. So that was probably either that day or the next day we reached out to PG&E to get that process started.
Thank you for affirming that. And for me, that's important. There's the facts, which are now much more clear, and now there's the findings that I have to try to make, and that's a key thing just to have affirmed. The way I'm gonna view this issue of, I have to make a finding that has a couple of conditions, and one is due to conditions beyond the reasonable control of the petitioner. So in my view, reasonable control of the petitioner is for the variance period starting March 12th. Because by the time the request for variance is made, March 12th, petitioner has already been after PG&E for, let's say, roughly 5 to 6 months, if not seven. I believe that to be outside their reasonable control when they can't get their facility changed in 7 months, when they're not allowed to do it themselves, hire outside people, they have to use the utility provider. So that important checkbox for me, that it's beyond the reasonable control of the petitioner, that aspect of the finding is made by the time March has come, Granite Rock's already been after PG&E for a very long time. So then I also want to go to a second part of that finding, which is it would be an arbitrary or unreasonable taking of property or the practical closing. So in the ATC, there are, I believe, is it 16 conditions? Yes. Each one of those conditions is its own standalone condition, and if they're violated, there's a variance needed. And number six, where you have your parts per million, although we can look at what those parts per million and pounds per MMBTU per day mean in overall emission load, nonetheless, there is a parts per million in output that basically could not be met in any way, no matter what we did, any scaling back. I mean, that's my view. Does anybody see that differently? That of the various things that we're looking at, the back limits, the pounds per MMBTU, the parts per million, which is volumetric, was just something that wasn't going to be able to be corrected until the unit was tuned. Mary, you want to give me a comment on that?
That is correct.
Yeah. So what that does, what that says to me is that even if we're going to take another overview to make sure overall emissions per day are okay, or let's put it another way, don't trigger more important higher threshold standards, that there was no way for this thing to run and not be out of spec. And because of that, this gets back to the first finding, which is that due to the circumstances outside their control, which they've already been on the utility provider for 7 months, that they would have to close in order to meet all of the conditions of the ATC. And so I'm able, I believe, to find that there's no way for them to meet this condition, condition six. By March 12th, this was outside of their control. And I'll just share with you, I am not willing to write into findings in the final findings that there's an issue with regard to, they have to close their business because they can't supply suppliers. I believe we can make this finding without reference to that kind of thing. I talk a little more later about why I'm not a fan of that seems like an awfully open-ended way to analyze emission control, that if someone has to shut down or scale back, they lose business, they lose enough business, then they have to close down. I'd be much more comfortable and be able to make this finding without allusion to those kinds of bigger economic circumstances when the findings can be made. So that's how I'm gonna rewrite the first finding, just to let you all know where this is going, is that the new information and time to sift through it has brought me around to, I believe, being able to make these findings. But I do have another question now, and that is, in the new staff report, I'm sorry, the updated information. Well, I want to go back, and Sung, this may be to you if I recall where your involvement was last week. We have an ATC that talks about a volumetric limit, parts per million. We also have a pounds per MMBTU. Now that's based on like how much heat and drying is going on. We have another reference to 1,050 tons per day. But to my eye, there's really nothing tying. And this has to do with the comment that by going down to a lower amount, which I believe is 442, that we didn't exceed the back limits. And I'm just looking at the three things that are presented in the ATC, and I don't see those tied together. I'm assuming that someone has scaled 1050 down to 442, but there's nothing in the ATC that directly talks about throughput of sand in pounds per day or tons per day to emissions. But can someone clarify that for me? Are these pounds per MMB? I mean, are these, was the limit backed out from a 24-hour day? Or is a day 8 hours? Is it 16 hours? Is it 12 hours?
I can answer that question. EPA wants us to write what they call federally enforceable conditions. So they don't like conditions that say facilities shall not exceed 25 pounds per NOx. It's very difficult to enforce. Our compliance can't go out there. They want us to put a number that the company can measure and the inspector can measure. And so what we do is we back calculate based upon the throughput of the equipment, the rating of the burner. And I think they have, and Song, you can help me, or Aaron, is it 17 hours
a day? So yeah, the facility has a county use permit and that restricts them to, for emergency purposes, to not exceed 14 hours per day. And so when we do evaluation, we have to do max potential emissions.
So we do figure out what their allowable is based upon the city use permit and the maximum capacity of the burner. And then we back calculate what that would be in tons per sand, which is easier enforceable. And so that's where you get the 1,050 tons per day of process throughput.
No, thank you very much for putting that on the record. I was hoping it was something like that, that there was mm-hmm. the good linkage. I do see that it's tons per day is something that everybody on site can keep track of.
Yes.
So just to clarify, so if they had gone up to 1,500 tons per day, that would likely take them over one or more of the limits by perhaps 50%. I don't know which is the leading high, like hole in the tent here of, not all of them are all gonna be at limit at 1050, is that correct?
Yes. Correct. In this case, CO is driving the issue.
Okay. So I appreciate that. And that reason I needed to just clarify for myself, so thank you again for that, is in the updated result, I mean, we said 442 last week, but now we're saying limiting the daily process rate to 350 tons per day. And then there's 442 tons per day. There are two tons per day mentioned in your updated information. Can you clarify whether there's two and
right.
how I should view them?
I think Amy included the 350 in the excess fee emission calculation to show you that because they took a limit, they didn't. There are no excessive emissions from either NOx or VOC. There was only an excessive emission on either one of those throughputs based upon CO. So that's why she rewrote the excessive emissions. But again, the original request was at 350. And then when the source test came, they needed to finish that test because it was showing compliance. And we all agreed that it would make sense and it would be prudent to complete the testing since it was showing compliance. But to complete it, they needed to go up to 442. And so that's what that final request. So the excessive emissions are based upon 442, but for CO only, because they are in compliance with NOx and VOC regardless on both tests, because they took the limit of 350.
Okay, so I appreciate that. And I did hear every word, but I still have a question. So there's a variance period that's approximately 3 weeks, maybe 4 weeks. And it was my understanding when you had the variance limit of 442, that they scaled back to 442 per day for the entire variance period. Is that so or is that not so?
They were doing 350 all the way up till April 8th.
Okay, so the 442 is just for the one day because it was prudent with everybody there on site doing tests to complete the test.
Correct.
So do you back, does that mean you apply the 442 across the entire variance period for emission calculation, or do you just do it, are you able to do it for one day?
Amy assumed 3 days of operation. Oh, Martin, let's see, she did. Let's see, what did her notes say?
You've at least cleared up what, where the 350 and the 442 came. 350 was what you would call the typical run during the variance period, except for the testing, which was with the buy-in of air staff just to get the test through. Is that so? Okay, so still outstanding question about whether 442 or 350 is used on emissions.
I think that she based the 350 for the first, that whole set of the first 3 weeks, which is what they were operating at, and maybe the last 3 days at the 442.
Okay, so thank you very much for that. I'm going to go back to findings now. Based on that, I'm gonna jump ahead to finding E. I'm gonna kind of take these as I choose. During the period the variance is in effect, the petitioner will monitor or otherwise quantify emission levels from the source. I'm sorry, wrong finding. During the period the variance is in effect, the petitioner will reduce excess emissions to the maximum extent feasible. I'm gonna expand on that a little bit. So it says limiting production to no more than 442 pounds per day. I'm more inclined to say that it was 350 tons per day, except for during the 3 day testing period, just to really show better compliance. Does anybody have a comment on that? And council, is there any reason why I wouldn't do that? So I can get back to Mary Perry I'd like to that, and then I've already got the note from last week, and that by doing so, they stayed below the backed limit of 550 pounds of CO. Is that the prime reason why that was kept below 442 or three kept low?
We kept them at 350 because it would keep them below the 550 CO based upon the December 30th test results.
With CO being what we view as the long pole in the tent.
Correct.
Okay. And so I'll probably also say CO, which is the highest, which is, I don't know what the exact closest to threshold emission substance. It's the closest. I don't think I want to use long pole in the tent in the finding, but it's the closest to threshold parameter.
How about driving compound.
Driver, which is the driver. Okay, so that part works good well for me. Thank you for explaining that portion and. Now I want to go in to C without a closing or taking would be without a corresponding benefit in reducing air contaminants. This is a tricky one. I mean, I guess what's not clear to me is that relative to the original equipment that was being replaced, was this equipment that was running out of spec for a while still lower emitting than the earlier equipment?
Yes, sir.
And I want to hear staff on that and on all of the key drivers.
The allowable PPM went up from 30 to 36. But because the rating of the rotary dryer dropped from 50 million BTU to 30, it was a decrease.
I'm going to make a finding then based on that sort of thing, that the implementation of this new system, where I probably will parenthetically say, which is geared towards reducing emissions, even running mildly out of spec in this condition represented a decrease from the prior operation. So any return to the earlier operation would not represent a decrease. And that's how I want to, that's sort of how I want to view that one. I'm just sharing with you. I have this challenge separate from learning the facts of making these findings work, and it has to be a good, fair, honest fit. And that's how I see that. So I also have to make a finding that the petitioner has given consideration to curtailing operations in lieu of obtaining a variance. I believe that is actually not such a significant threshold, because certainly they have, and they've discounted that possibility, and we can explain why, which is sort of a compendium of the things we've just discussed. It's actually running lower than it was in prior years. It's at a reduced output per day. They've set their own separate, much lower limit where emissions are below back thresholds. And I will use the same final sentence starting where it says fully curtailing operations is not warranted, but I'm just not gonna support statements that say due to loss of customers. I believe the findings can be made without references to a person saying they're gonna lose business. That to me is just such an odd a way of describing it, because if they're doing something absolutely unacceptable, doesn't matter if they lose business, if they have to be shut down. So to me, it's just, I appreciate that maybe there was different thinking here, but I believe we can make all these findings without that reference. And if I haven't made it crystal clear, I'm not comfortable evaluating these things with regard to loss of long-term business. It has to be other reasons. So I guess the last question is that on the finding is finding F, during the period the variance is in effect, petitioner will monitor or otherwise quantify emission levels if requested to do so by the district. So I see that staff has prepared a preliminary finding that says petitioner performed and passed a source test on April 8th. What I'd like to hear so that I can make a finding is that since it's if requested to do so by district, to hear from perhaps Trevor, what did we request? And they do, I think they did, but did they do it all? Can you please let me know?
Yes, they satisfied what we requested. Essentially, we're using calculations and then the April 8th source test.
The final report has not yet been received, correct, but based upon the preliminary report.
Based on observation source test and the preliminary results provided by Granite.
Okay, and I want to just now also check that, your data is your data, the order I've got to sign in for the board. The draft order lists that Granite Rock is seeking variance from 3 VOCCO and oxides of nitrogen. Has anything changed with regard to that request based on follow-up data?
Go ahead, Mary.
Not on our end. Like we said before, they never ever exceeded the NOx. The issue here is when NOx and CO are inversely proportional. So when you're bringing down CO levels, you might increase NOx, which is why I think Granite Rock requested to have NOx included in the variance, even though they didn't need it initially. But knowing that the burner manufacturer needed to come and tweak things, it might have spiked the NOx while the CO came down. So we did.
We don't have the final results, so it would be a shame to take this out now and then find out when the final results come in that we missed something by.
Right. It looks like it's the test passed. Everything was good. But again, I think the fact that we put this source test before the hearing, that's complicated everything. So we're going backwards, but yes, it was appropriate for them to ask for a variance on all three. And I think we should just keep it that way to move forward until we, you know, get the final report from the source test company.
Okay.
Perfect. Mr. Guth, this is Cindy.
Yeah.
If you keep in limits, if you keep them with limits with VOC and NOx, then you're going to have, I feel in your conditions and reporting requirements, then you're going to have to provide them with the limits like we did in condition three. And then the excess emissions are based on that too. So I feel you might need to make a decision that they could have asked for that, but now you're going to back it out and not give them relief from VOC and NOx, or you have to have them pay excess emission fees based on that.
Okay, I appreciate you pointed that out. Let me now go look at table number one from the.
That could be done because based upon the current data, there were no excessive emissions if they stayed below 350 tons a day for those 3 weeks, which we don't have that data yet, but that is, they will be reporting that to us.
So why don't you help me here? So on attachment B, which is the full source test information, and page two is the summary. There's the parameters, a variety of parameters are listed here, and CO and organic volatiles, those are, to me, on average, clearly above allowable, VOC and CO.
Correct.
And oxides of nitrogen are not, although they're about, 11%, 12%, 13% close to within the limit?
Yes.
Okay, so is this what you're pointing to when you say, are you basing were the emissions overages based on this data table that we're looking at right there?
Correct, yes.
And is it being said that since we're adding oxides of nitrogen, it's inappropriate to do it because
they took a limit. Because they took a limit, they never got near their daily allowable on the permit.
So I see. So by asking for something, they have to pay for it. Is that?
Well, let's think about this. Say okay. We didn't have the hearing after they had their source test.
Okay.
They would have 10 days after they applied, you would have set limits on all of their stuff because we didn't know where they were. Right. So if you're going to increase oxides of, if we're not going to back them out, I think you understand what I'm saying there, then you're going to have to put limits on them and then they're going to have paid the excess emission fees, I believe, on what you set the variance at. It's up to you, but if you provide them with overage from what's on their ATC, then it's almost like it's not a level playing field with other people that come in and get their variance in a way.
You're saying that even though because of the odd circumstance, it's already done and gone in, you know, by this time, but otherwise they're requesting for something, a limit has to be set and they have to pay for that excess to the limit. And we haven't done that in this circumstance. Okay, this makes sense to me. So let me ask you, I'm happy to take that out of the request, but this is the petitioner's request.
But they can request it and then you can give them what you want to give them.
Okay, no, I appreciate that. That helps me also. So I could say, in this case, could not give it to them because they didn't need it. I mean, I could have not given it to them for a variety of reasons. Like, we don't do that, for example, but that's not this circumstance. Mm-hmm. So, and that would be to take out the third line at line 25 of the draft order on page 2, just wiping out NOx. Now,
Yeah, and then the table on page 4.
Your input on that, and now I've got to at least give petitioner a chance to set, to say, given what you know now and where you are now, would you like to defend that request at NOx if you hear that I'm considering not granting it to you, Mr. Johnston?
Well, given our most recent SAC test, I think we could withdraw the request for NOx. I will say that NOx is the hardest pollutant to control for, and that really drives up the cost of the burner, which is what our initial investment was aiming to do, to reduce fuel use and also to get best in class in NOx. So we were surprised all the way through the process that it was CO that was out. And, you know, it's a stoichiometric relationship there. So the reason was we're requesting for all those pollutants is to give us coverage while we try to get the burner tuned into expectations. But given the benefit of testing results during the hearing, I think we can remove those unless Trevor thinks there's a risk to those results changing in his professional view between now and the final result.
No, I don't believe that the results for NOx will show differently on the source test, but again, we're still waiting for the final results.
And VOC as well. It looks like Amy calculated the new fees with no excess emissions on VOC also.
Yes, yeah, same situation for VOC.
I don't know if you still leave VOC in though, because they were out of compliance with condition 6. They just have any excessive emission fees.
Right. No, they're out. VOC and CO is out in the in the data, the appendix A and B data. They're asking for a variance for that. Whether or not they exceed daily limits and have fees is, those are two separate things. Okay, I was gonna say, well, the period is already open and closed, so I cannot grant them NOx because they don't have any violation, but I appreciate what Trevor just said, that he doesn't believe that it's gonna change. And I'm hearing now from Cindy, which I believe to be valid counsel, that if NOx goes in, there's gotta be a limit determined and a fee paid, but there's also gotta be a limit determined. And so if we were gonna do that, that would have to be either done right now by you all for me to add into this, or I won't grant the NOx limit. I've heard petitioner, I mean, it's not petitioner's call. I just wanted to hear their level of comfort. It sounds like they're comfortable with that idea. What would happen if it came, if it changed in the final report and we didn't give it to them in the variance, then it becomes a violation?
Correct.
I see nodding. Somebody's nodding.
Yes, correct.
I'm either one would be fine for me, that we leave NOx in and we give them an emission fee and we give them a limit, or we take it out. Because of the two, we're only prepared to do one, which is take it out. Not hearing petitioner defend that, you know, pounding the table that they want that in there, I'll take it out.
Sorry, Mr. In retrospect, if we could pay a fee for NOx, we'd be willing to pay a fee for peace of mind, knowing that if there is a problem with the report, that it would be out. Now that I know that's going to complicate it, because, you know, how do you calculate a fee on something that is performing, right? But maybe that fee could be retroactively calculated if the final report shows that it's out.
Is there a way to come up with a commensurate limit increase similar to what we're giving to CO that we limit NOx at? And if we were to do that, what am I not seeing? Is that a bad idea? Is NOx more scrutinized by you all?
Just to put in perspective, their maximum daily emissions based upon the ATC is 8.6 pounds per day. Based upon the April 8th test, they were at 7.1 pounds per day. And based upon the December 30th, they were at 5.5. So if somebody wanted to suggest, you know, a PPM, we can calculate that for you, but.
Okay, so I'm kind of at cross purposes. This is.
I think we could back.
I don't know who's the chief. Who would I view as the chief staff person on this? On this, is that you, Mary?
I think it's Trevor.
Okay, I want to hear the recommendation about whether or not NOx should be in this order or not.
I think it really is. Is the petitioner requesting that NOx remain in the request?
It appears so. And are we prepared as staff to have that in? Do we have a workup on what numbers would need to be in the order to do that? And would you have time to in real time comment on whether it's a good idea? Separate that it doesn't look like we're going to go up there. Do you all have any inhibitions or concerns about also bumping up a NOx limit as we're allowing them to bump up a CO limit?
It can be calculated if they're requesting that. I believe it was in the original request and they'd like to preserve that. We just need to make sure that the fees and limits are calculated.
Okay, well, we're on our second hearing now, so I'd like to do that during this one. Is that something, and I also want to hear if anybody at staff has got a concern that this is a bad idea.
Yeah, you know, they would have to propose that a number we can't give calculate excessive fees at this point, so it would have to be after the fact based upon it, so.
Well, I'm okay with actually that to be, it was my understanding that Cindy has said that if we're going to give them a variance to the NOx limit, that we should be proposing a number that we're giving the variance to. This is what we do after we are in the variance period. Is that a fair understanding, Cindy, of what mm-hmm. the guidance is?
Mm-hmm.
So who would come up with that number? And is it a fair number? And is it proportional? I mean, we're giving a CO, but we're hearing it's inverse to CO. So I don't know if there's any.
Yeah, I can't give a number that we would expect it to be this by dropping. Mm-hmm. CO from 5,000 to 1,000.
If I may, hearing the conversation, I see where we're in the difficulty here. So I would, as a petitioner, I would draw my request for NOx to be included in the variance, because we can't speculate how much it would be over, and the best available data we have is it's within limits.
Okay. Having heard that, Mr. Johnson, thank you for that. And no, we weren't trying to just beat you up until you said that, but we were really discussing it.
Yeah.
So that makes life easier as I go through the rest of the preliminary order. So the other thing that is in the condition and reporting requirement, can we reaffirm these dates? Originally we were March 12th to April 8th. Are we now up to something like April 9th or 10th, or how exactly did that work when we finished the testing? Is the period still April 8th?
I would say yes.
Okay. And I got an update on the emissions fee. In light of all the discussion we just had, is the attachment of F, emissions cost, still current in light of this discussion we've had so far today?
Just correct. Remember that she's not including VOC in this. There's no, so it's just NOx, this excess emission fee just includes CO, period, no VOC or NOx.
Okay, so now that you've pointed that to my attention, I'll tell you why I think that is. You can tell me whether I'm on base or not. Carbon monoxide is over its condition 6 limit. It's also over another limit separate from the volumetric. Whereas volatile organics are over their volumetric parts per million, but in aggregate, they're not exceeding a different standard. It doesn't result in an overall emission overage for a fee. Is that the difference between the two? Or could you clarify that, please?
Yeah, the VOC emissions are just so negligible compared to the CO. They're not even going to have an impact on the excessive emissions.
Even though they are out on a volumetric parts per million basis as the burner operates.
Right, because they took that 350 ton per day limit, they never exceeded their allowable.
Okay, thank you for that. So now I'll go back to the same question, which is, so given all of this discussion, the overall okay, I'm now looking, trying to see what the overall limit is. We've got 1055, 1055. So we've gone down from the original thought that it was going to be $5,899 and it's now $1,055. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Okay. Sorry about my phone ringing there. And this condition three of this order, which was prepared by you all for me, petitioner will not exceed 6.7 pounds of VOC per day, 688.2 pounds of CO per day, and 17.6 pounds per day of NOx during the term of this variance. Can you please explain about this condition and where these numbers are coming from, please?
This, I would have figured it, Mary, then, that this would have been, I believe Amy did this, but this would have been their excess amount from their permitted levels per every, what we're, their limit would be, and that's the total of what we were giving them. Do you remember?
Well, is this the NOx limit that we thought we didn't have after all?
So this is what you're going to give them. This is what you're going to say, that they will not exceed so much of CO per day. The VOC and NOx won't be in here anymore. So what is Amy saying on her spreadsheet, that they will be over how much, Mary? 57.8 per day? Does that look
correct?
Right?
Correct. So if you go to attachment F, the permit limits them to 420 pounds per day. And we really need to go back to the results of the December 30th test and that 350 limit that they've been operating under since March 12th. And they committed to staying below 547. So really the difference, that's what they needed to be protected from for those, that period, 547 and 440. 420.
A little different than the forgetting the cost aspect. I'm a little confused now. I thought we had already in one of the findings pointed out when the petitioner will reduce excess emissions to the maximum extent possible that they were restricting. Oh, this is this was tons per day is 350 to maintain CO below 550 pounds per day. And then here later, we're saying 688.2 pounds per day. So it just seems like I've made a finding saying they're doing one thing and then allowing them to do something else. I still have a question of where the 688.2 comes in.
If you put that in, then your excess emission, it's kind of a weird dynamic here, right? But they play with each other. The excess emission fees play with this condition three as well. So what you're telling Granite, you will not exceed, should be saying 57.8 pounds of CO per day. Because if you do, then you throw all those excess emission fees off as well too. So you have to give them a limit.
You're talking about 57 over or 57 total?
It's will not. So yeah, so I think the 688, so you'd have to figure that out how you want to word that, but I would say you could say will not exceed 547.4 per day.
That would be the best, because when we get the data, they only showed compliance till April 8th. So they really need the protection of they shall not exceed 547.
Okay, so let me just go through, start over again here. Conditions on the variance that I'm working through, 1, 2, 3, 4, are independent. Number one was the date time period. Number two is the excess emission fee. Number three is limits for during that term of that variance.
Could we limit
it? It's not excess emissions fee based. It's just the way it reads, it's just what their limits are during the variance.
I think the limit would be better listed as the throughput.
If you're going to keep in line with this, somebody's got to be able to figure it out on site. When we meet statutory compliance, if I have this in throughput instead of.
I believe so. It's just so that you know. I believe that would work. It's whatever you want to do, and you're holding them to some kind of limit, and then that kind of relates to the excess emission fee. So that's fine.
Okay. Oh boy. Now I think
it's just simpler to put it in tons per day because we're dealing with two sets of source test data. So to protect them from those first 3 weeks versus the last 3 days.
Petitioner will not exceed 350 tons per day throughput except during test where they may go to 442.
I think that would be sufficient. And right. It is representative of what they also did.
I agree.
Sorry to put you through all this. This is what I get for reading all this stuff. Okay, so petitioner will provide the results of the April 8th, 2021 source test to the district no more than 30 days from the date of this test. Hang on, I have to put on my stern face and wag my finger now. And they really better do that because they weren't really quick last time. Okay.
So that would be May, before May 8th, I guess we should get it.
Yeah. So I'm not quite sure what the basis is of number five. I'm fine to keep it in there. But because you have 30 days from April 8th in condition four to report the results, I don't know why we've designated April 22nd to be a reporting requirement.
Because usually it's about, you know, 10 day. It depends, 2 weeks after the first hearing normally. So you could change that to say May 8th if you want.
I think I'd feel more comfortable. I mean, one of the things is that, you know, they're giving you an update that they're keeping their throughputs right and everything, but this is all done and you guys have been on site. So I'll change that to May 8th. Well, 30 days from May 8th.
Yeah, whatever the
30. Actually, 30 days from April 8th is not May 8th. 1 month from May 8th, April 8th is May 8th. I'll just leave it as May 8th.
Well, they can report if they were in compliance or non-compliance. I mean, if they tell us they're non-compliant right, the day after,
I'll leave it just the way it was. I'll leave it just the way it was. I just was trying to get, or was that? Was that geared towards our, that doesn't even make, 10 days from April 12th, I see. Why don't I do it 10 days from this hearing, the final hearing? Mm-hmm. Keep it in line with your thing. So that's the 29th. Okay, so with all of those things, let me just go back. We are now going to, I am willing to grant a variance for VOC and CO. We're withdrawing the discussion of oxides of nitrogen as discussed in this hearing, and as I will put into writing in a final finding, I find that it's outside of their reasonable control of petitioner and would result in a practical closing. I have discussed herein, and I will reduce into writing and present in my final order how the closing or taking would be without a corresponding benefit. I will also discuss how the petitioner has given consideration to curtailing operations. We've discussed, and I will render into writing a final finding that I will be able to find that the petitioner will reduce excess emissions to the maximum extent feasible. And on the order, I will not be granting the NOx, that's line 25 of page 4. And getting into the conditions, condition 2 will switch to $1,055. Oh, you know, and now I'm going to just stop that recitation and just ask now staff. There's a second sentence in that emissions condition that I think we need to have updated. And if you can help me with that. We have the sheet here. Does that sheet, new sheet, just fit directly in to condition 2, second sentence, page 5 of the draft order?
I would just change petitioner will pay an excess emission fee of $1,055 based upon the excess emission calculations of the 1,528.8
CO. Nothing else.
Nothing else, because Mary said the VOC was negligible, that it's not going on the excess emissions.
Good, thank you for helping me with that. Condition 3 is that petitioner will not exceed 350 tons per day throughput except during test days where it may be raised to 442 tons per day. The condition 5 is modified to April 29th notification. Everything else remains the same. So I'm about to grant that order. I guess petitioner, you have anything that
Mr. Guth, on page 2, yes. On your findings of fact, you might want to take out that they're not in violation of NOx on that chart too, if that's what you're saying.
Yes, no, I had, okay, thank you for that. Just okay. To make clear, I have that line through. So we have NOx line through twice, line 25, page 2.
Okay.
And line 25, page 4.
Okay.
Did I miss anything, or is anything of concern to anyone?
Got all my concerns.
Okay, so ordered. That was me saying so ordered, so we're good. Mr. Johnson, if you had a concern with that, we just missed it.
Thank you, Mr. Guth. I wonder if in another time, another place, you could do our supplier contracts for their emission limits. Your detail and fairness was excellent. I appreciate it.
I worked in manned aerospace, where there's nothing more documentation intensive than engineering, where human life is at stake in spacecraft.
Yeah, and it shows.
Well, it's annoying, but thank you.
Well, thank you.
Okay, we'll wait thank for your you, order sir. Then. Thank you.
And so I'll just ask Anne, whoever, I'd really like to get, I believe I only have a PDF of that. If I don't, I'd like to get an editable copy of the order so I can
modify. Do you have that, Anne? If you don't, let me know.
Thank you.
I want to thank everybody. That was very, very supportive. I appreciate that very much.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.